Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories,
we tell them live,
and we tell them every month at the Canal Cafe Theatre.
This story was performed by Sonia Todd
in September 2010, where the theme was crossing the line.
I've always been a bit of a goody two-shoes, and I've never really been one for crossing the line. If I remember back to my educational days, I can only remember one time per educational establishment when I did anything bad. At junior school, I was crossing the lunchroom with my tray when the headmaster suddenly came in and started making a speech. I carried on walking until he shouted, "Stop walking when I'm talking!" Then at high school, I was again walking down the corridor with my German teacher, Mrs. McClellan, about 50 feet behind me. I came to a set of very heavy double swing doors. So I went through and I thought I'd better hold it open for Mrs. McClellan. I was holding it open for quite a long time and she was still making her way down the corridor. So I thought, I feel really stupid, I'm just going to shut it and carry on. So I closed the door and unfortunately I mistimed it and it slammed in her face. Then at university, I told my supervisor that I had a work experience placement in London on a newspaper for a week, so I wouldn't be attending any classes, when really I was going to follow my favourite band around the country on tour. I think that he knew I was lying. After university, I enrolled on a one-year journalism course in Cardiff. And this has since come to be a year I think of as the loneliest year of my life. In Cardiff at the time, this is way before Doctor Who happened, you know. They just started regenerating the city, but they hadn't actually put anything in the new buildings, so there was literally nothing to do. And I was living in a bedsit for £200 a month. My moving-in present from my mum was Delia Smith's most depressing book, One is Fun. It was not. And, yeah, I had no money at all. I could just about manage to make £5 credit on my mobile, eke out over the month. And, yeah, there was just nothing to do. There was about 30 people on my course, and although I did make friends with some of them, they weren't really deep, lasting friendships. I wasn't really feeling it. So I was pretty lonely. I even thought a good idea would be to get a boyfriend, because it would occupy me for the whole year, company and entertainment for free. And so I put an ad in the Guardian Soulmates, went on two dates with this guy. He ends up going out with my friend Claire off my course, so I don't even get to hang out with her anymore. The other thing I did to occupy myself was just work. And Cardiff had just started to offer an online journalism option, and this was the early days of the internet, so very exciting. And the tutor was a guy called Daniel Meadows. He's actually quite a famous photographer, and you might even have heard of him. But basically, in the 1960s, he bought a Routemaster bus, and he travelled around the country on this bus taking portrait photos of people. And they're all published in, you know, Sunday supplements and books and all that kind of thing. So he was a bit of a hippie, and I thought I was a bit of a hippie too. So, you know, I wanted to impress him. I really liked him. He, you know, his lectures were interesting and lively, and, you know, he really sort of, you know, taught us about photography and visuals and what a photo means. I didn't even know photos were meant to mean anything. So I thought, oh, here's another bohemian soul. And, you know, he showed us a photo of himself when he was on the bus, when he was, you know, 20-odd. And I was like, oh, I wish you were on this course with me now. So I spent all my weekends in his little classroom, which is in the basement, called the Digital Lab. I spent all my weekends in there making websites where, like, my hand was the menu, or there was an animated GIF of Michael Jackson dancing, or I'd cut out Jackie magazines and, like, make those speech bubbles pop up. I was really pleased because I felt like Daniel knew, you know, we had this good teacher-student relationship. And he, you know, used my website as the example of what to do in one of the lectures. And he also said to me, "Oh, Sonia, did you do Art Foundation?" Which was immensely flattering to me. Anyway, I'd had this really bad weekend where I'd spent the whole time in the digi lab, you know, no sunlight, just on my own, scanning in Jackie. And I'd also been to a nightclub on my own to try and make friends with the local indie kids, but that was very awkward. So Monday morning came around, so I was like, oh, I just want to speak to a friend, you know, someone who understands me. So I thought, I know, I'm going to phone my friend Anna in Leeds. You know, she's so fun, it'll be great, you know, it'll just perk me up. So I went to call her on my mobile. You've run out of credit. So I went into the university and I went into the Digi Lab. I knew there was a phone in there. And Daniel was teaching some students in the corner. So I thought, oh, this will be fine. I'll pick up the phone, dial my friend Anna, and she answers. And it's just so good to hear her voice. It's amazing. Chat for ages. You know, I feel like my true self can now come out just for a little space of time here. Daniel looked over a couple of times and I thought, oh, you know, he probably finds it strange to actually just hear me chatting with someone so naturally. After I talked to Anna, I was in a good mood, went upstairs to my normal classes, and our tutor Tim announced that there was going to be an essay competition. So it was a prize essay competition. The prize was £100. So, you know, this is half my rent. This is about 2 years' worth of pay-as-you-go mobile bills. And I really, really, really wanted to win. And the topic was the funding of the BBC. So I went away and I read so many boring white papers about the BBC, you wouldn't believe. And I tried to have an opinion on the subject. I wrote my essay. We all handed them in. A couple of weeks later, I actually happened to be standing in the classroom with the other four people who were considered to be contenders for this prize. So there was Ed, and he was like quite a big rugby boy, went on to work for all the tabloids, you know, the type. And then there was my friend Claire, the one with the boyfriend. There was little Ed, and there was Ginger Ed and me. So all five contenders happened to be standing in the classroom together. We were actually chatting about when they were going to announce this prize and who might win. So that's when our tutor, Tim, walks in and says, Sonia, could you go and see Mr. Rogers upstairs, please? So he said it in quite an upbeat voice. I was like, yes, I've won. And everyone looked at me and was like, oh, yeah, you're the winner, damn. So really happy and went upstairs, you know, knock at Mr. Rogers' door, walk in. There he is. He's on the desk. He's got papers in front of him. I'm like, that's my prize-winning essay. And Daniel's even there. So I'm like, well, that's great. You know, my favourite tutor, he's come to congratulate me on my deserved win. And now I can spend the £100 going and actually see Anna or see a friend. So Mr. Rogers lifts up these papers, holds them up in front of me and says, do you know what this is? And it's a BT telephone bill. So he's like, Sonia, Daniel has a strict budget to stick to in the digital lab and he can't afford to cover your personal calls. So I was so apologetic, really, really sorry, won't happen again, oops. And then I didn't really realise what was coming next. Mr. Rogers actually said, you'll need to pay back the money. So, you know, extra gutted. And it was £26, you know. That is, you know, a quarter of my rent or maybe an eighth, I don't know. Didn't do maths. That's about, you know, 5 months' mobile bill. So, you know, I wouldn't be phoning anyone for the foreseeable future. And, you know, Daniel looked almost as embarrassed as me, just looking at the floor. You know, he probably thought he was doing the right thing, dobbing me in. And I had to go back downstairs. I had to tell the other four that not only had I not won, but I had to explain to them what I'd done, and hideous. So I looked bad in front of Daniel, no £100 for me. Basically, it was boredom and loneliness for the rest of the year, and James won the prize.
For more stories, or to take part in next month's show, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Etz, audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.